Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Now let's read together, please. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the church that you've given us here, a lighthouse, if you would, to tell our city and our county and surrounding counties about Christ and the way that's beneficial to live in our lives, that gets your blessing in our lives. Now, God, please work on our hearts today to help us to be effective in that mission. God, help us today to hear what the Word of God has for us. And then, Father, we pray that you would anoint our pastor to accomplish this task through your Holy Spirit. Fill him, control him, as he tries to help us today. And, Father, if there's someone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior this morning, I pray that they would settle it before they leave this room. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Please make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate. We would appreciate that very much. This morning I've cut way back on my sarcasm concerning cell phones and things like that because I ran out of things to say that were sarcastic. I'll just leave a warning, okay? Just turn it off or turn it to vibrate. We'd appreciate that very much. Hebrews 10 and verse 35 is talking about confidence. You know something, it's interesting how that sometimes words in the Bible, especially our King James Bible, sometimes words in the Bible are used differently than they are now. And by the way, let me say this to you very carefully. The language in the King James Bible was when the English language had its most words in its vocabulary. And I know for a lot of people today, they think, well, the King James, it's archaic and no one talks like that anymore and blah, blah, blah. Let me explain something to you. That's when the English language was at its purest and its best. It has dumbed down and been deteriorated to what it is today. So that's why we don't mess, one of the many reasons we don't mess with modern translations. They're deteriorated. We need to bring, listen, we need to bring our living and our language up to the standard of God's Word. Don't bring it back to where we live. Okay? The word confidence here means confidence. Just like when someone is certain of something, they're assured of something. It says in Hebrews 10 and verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Recompense of reward simply means it'll benefit you in your life beyond what you could possibly imagine if you cast not away your confidence. Now, when we think of confidence, we think of somebody who's cocky, self-assured. Now, we need to understand something. Confidence that's right has to have two ingredients to it. It has to have the right source, and it has to have the right object. There are a lot of people who are very confident of themselves and in themselves. That's the wrong kind of confidence. The right kind of confidence comes from God, from His Word, and from doing what God wants you to do with your life. That's the right source. The object of your confidence is God, His Word, and doing what God wants you to do with your life. You know, success is only mentioned a few times in the Bible. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, talks about success simply being this: doing what the Bible says. That's successful. That's why, look at me this morning. Some of you dear people this morning, you are a success in the sight of God and don't even know it. Because you think, well, I'm not successful because I'm not on the front page of some junk magazine in a grocery store because you didn't, you know, because you married Elvis's Nazi alien baby or some stupid thing. I don't know what these. Can I help you with something this morning? Please don't pay attention to these people's lives. What is the matter with you? Seriously. They are the biggest L7 weenies I ever saw in my life. That's a modern expression that means losers. Okay? They're losers. And why do we care who's married to who and who's having somebody's kid is not married to somebody? All this kind of junk. Please, please. It is not, you're not successful in the sight of the world if you do what the Bible says. But God says you're a success. Now, it is for confidence to be the kind of confidence that they're talking about here in the Bible, it has to have the right source. It needs to come from the right source. And if you read Hebrews 10, the previous passages, verses in Hebrews 10 and the few that follow, you'll see it keeps talking about God. It talks about His law or His word. It talks about God's working and will and way in people's lives and that sort of thing. That's where your confidence should come from. Our confidence should come from the fact I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to follow my God, be confident that He knows what He's doing. And I'm going to follow and do what the Bible tells me to do with my life, whether it's popular or not. Now that kind of confidence, the Bible says, you need to do one simple thing with it. Don't throw it away. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. See, folks, look at me this morning. See this piece of paper? This is an old announcement that we keep up here. And every now and then we'll clean these out and clear them out and that kind of thing. See this piece of paper right here? This piece of paper means absolutely nothing. We just put it in the trash, we'll throw it away. Now then, let me pull out another piece of paper. Oh my goodness, look at that. I got a $50 bill. Yeah, remain seated. That I'm not going to crinkle and throw away. I'm going to pay attention to where this is, and I'm going to see how fast it will go, because it will go very, very quickly. I remember way back, Big Daddy's in Children's Church this morning. The Smith showed me a picture of Joshua when he was little in a rabbit suit? A lamb. He was wearing a lamb suit. Now, if you know Joshua Smith, little tiny guy that runs around here in our church, him in a lamb suit. I was dumb enough to make the statement, I'd pay $50 to see him in a lamb suit. Now, the next service, that 6'6", 200 and some odd pound dude came walking into church in a lamb suit. And that was the last time I had $50 in my pocket. I had a $50 bill. I had to give it to him. He actually took it, and I put it in the offering, and I think he did or something like that. I went out and bought him a bigger lamb suit because that one didn't fit too good. But I thought, man, that was a tough $50. See, that piece of paper, that really doesn't mean a lot. This piece of paper means a lot more to me. I'm not going to just throw this on the ground because of its value, its worth. I worked hard for that $50. Okay? The Bible says, cast not therefore away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Listen to me. Some of you today, you've got your confidence from the right source. You got it from the confidence in God and confidence in His Word and confidence in doing His will and working for God, doing what God wants you to do with your life. But you need to be careful that as you go along in life, you don't just throw it aside. That's what he's saying here. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. You know, there's a difference between confidence and pride. Pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. There is no good connotation to pride in the Bible. We use that expression a lot, I'm afraid. I'm very proud of you, and we should say I'm very pleased with you. Because pride is not a good word. Confidence, however, is a good thing. And there is a difference between confidence, which can be good, and pride, which is not. There's a difference, but there's not much distance. A person can go from confident to proud just about that quick. Cocky, arrogant, oh my soul. Illustration. When my wife and I were first married, this December 6th, we'll be married 38 years. When we were first married, there is that period of adjustment in marriage. You know what I'm talking about? Where you get used to each other. She gets used to the fact you're always right. That kind of stuff. You know what I mean? You're adjusting. Coming to those kind of adjustments. Thank you, brother. Thank you. It's you and me right now, brother. Let me tell you that right now. Because neither one of us is sitting by our wife. That's why. All the rest of these guys sitting there going. Looking at their wife like, can I say amen to that? I don't know. Okay. No, I can't. Okay, good. You know the first year of adjustment in marriage, right? And every young guy who gets married thinks he has the bull by the horns. You can handle it. Are you with me, fellas? You can handle it. You can handle this woman. You can handle this job. You can handle it. In that first year of marriage, I was a typical young man. Got married. With all my experience in marriage, it's like 6 months, I had it. I had to figure it out. I can handle this woman. Took on a new job, moved to a new city. No problem. Done that before. Handle the job. Handle the new job. Handle the new city. Handle this woman. I can handle all this stuff. I got it. We were fighting like cats and dogs. We were just not getting along real well that first year of marriage. No problem now. 37 years, smooth, silvery seas. But the first year was a little rough. I had this new job, and frankly, it was beneath my abilities. But I took it because I needed a job. And it was a good job, a good paying job. But it was, frankly, not on the same level as my intellectual acumen. But I can handle the job because it's not a big deal. Because I can handle this woman. I can handle this job. And I can handle this move to the new city. And I can handle, I got it. It's not a problem. I'd been in the military, come out of the service. I wasn't a kid. Knew what to do. Life's good, all good. And I'm in charge. I'm all right. I'm the man. Big M, little A, little N. The man. And if we had arguments or disagreements, I just put her in her place. Everything was fine. And that's how the arguments continued, as a matter of fact, as I recall. Then the branch manager called me into the office. I was working a service route, and the main branch was in Sacramento. We lived in Chico. He calls me in the office and says, I need you to come in. I need to meet with you. And I thought, raise. Raise. Promotion. Because I got the job. Because I can handle this woman in the city. And I got it. It's no big deal. So I walk in his office. I'm sitting there in front of the branch manager. And he looks at me and I'm thinking, raise, promotion, praise, and adulation. And I was prepared to accept it with complete humility. And he looked at me and he said, I think I'm going to have to fire you. And all of a sudden, all those years of watching Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd came back. What? He said, I think I'm going to have to fire him. He pulled out a notepad and just started flipping pages of all these complaints he was getting from my customers. He said, I don't know. We had such high expectations for you. I'd hate to fire you. You just got married, but I don't see how I can not fire you. Now, folks, look at me. I worked a full-time job since I was 12. I've been fired one time in my life, one time up until today. I've been fired one time in my life, okay? Once. And I sat there and I looked at that man. I thought, what in the world? He goes, look, talk to me. And so we went to this conversation. I said, I had no idea. I had no idea these customers were not happy with my service and what I was doing. He said, well, look at this. And he started reading the complaints off and everything else. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He says, I know you're a good guy, and I'm going to give you, he says, no, he said, I'm not even going to give you one more chance. I'm going to give you a half a chance. You have 2.5 strikes on you, young man. When you go out that door, you get in that van, and you go back and take care of those customers. If I hear one phone call, you're fired. I didn't even have to open the door to walk out. I mean, I just, right under the door. Went home, had a fight with the wife. We had a few days before that driven by in Walnut Creek area, heading back up to Chico from down south and past my grandmother, who was alive then, or her and my grandfather living in Walnut Creek. We just busy, didn't stop to see him. She found out we drove by and didn't stop to see her. She called me on the phone. My grandmother, the master encourager, Mrs. Wonderful, everything's wonderful, that lady, she chewed me out. Now, not bad, like, you. What do you think? It was the grandma chewing out. I thought you loved me. I thought you cared about me. I mean, listen to me. It would have been better, and this is not appropriate, but it would have been better if she'd have cussed me out than to do that, than the grandma thing. Put the grandma guilt trip on you. If you just loved me, you'd have stopped to see me. And I thought, you were, oh, Michael, how could you do this to me? I said, well, Grandma, and she hung up on me. My grandmother hung up on me. I'm about to get fired. I can't handle this woman. And I'm about to lose my job. The whole world's crashing down on Mike Johnson. You know why? Because I was confident in Mike Johnson. God just took the rug and poof, yanked it out from underneath my feet to teach me I couldn't handle that woman. I couldn't handle that job beneath my abilities. I couldn't even handle my own grandmother, for goodness sakes. The thing was going to pieces on me. Because there is a difference between confidence and pride, but there's not much distance. You better get your confidence from the right source. Some people are just a little cocky. They're a little arrogant. They're a little, I'm so sure of myself, I know what I'm doing. That's going, you're headed for a fall. Are you listening to me? You're headed for a fall. But for some today, their confidence was right to begin with. You're confident because, look at me, because you know whom you have believed and are persuaded that he is able to keep that which he has committed unto you against that day. Your confidence comes from knowing him. That Paul said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Your confidence came from the fact that you knew God and God knew you. That comes with salvation, by the way, accepting Christ as your Savior. And then you have the confidence that you're a child of God. But as many as received him, to them gave it power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You're something because God made you something. That's the right kind of confidence. A God-made soul, not a man-made soul, not a self-made soul. Well, I made myself into what I am. Well, then you're a pusillanimous little squirt who made himself into something, but not what God could have made you. Confidence in God. Don't cast that away now. Listen to me. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence in God. So, question this morning. To you who are not self-confident and so assured of yourself. Those kind of people are so, they're shallow as a teardrop. You know that? There's a lot of people like that in this world. And if you took a pin and poked them, all the air would come out. Those people have no, they don't interest me at all whatsoever. What concerns me, however, are Christians. Listen to me. People who by faith have walked with their God for years and now something's happened. And all of a sudden, they act like, so what's God up to now? What's this all about? Look at me. They just cast away their confidence in God. Because it didn't go the way they wanted. Because they didn't get what they wanted. Because it didn't happen the way they thought so. Because they actually do believe, if they really honestly told you the truth, they would tell you that they believe God does not know what he's doing. And in their particular case, God made a mistake. Need to have the right kind of confidence, the kind of confidence that says God is God and he knows what he's doing. The right kind of confidence has source in God and in his word and in his will and in his way. Now listen carefully this morning. So cast not away, therefore, your confidence in God. Do you always understand what God does? No. Does it always make sense to you? No. Does God answer all my questions? No. And he's not going to answer all yours either. You heard me say this before, but please listen to me very carefully. It doesn't have to be right to me to be right. It just has to be right to him. That's all. But I don't know that, Pastor Johnson. I mean, how do you know? If you listen to me carefully. I don't even have to know that. I just have to know this. I have confidence that God knows what he's doing. I have confidence. I'm not going to throw that away. I'm not going to cast it away. It means to throw something down. It means to throw it away. It means to cast it to the side. You had it at one time, and now it slipped from the grip of your hand because you let it go. It's a good old joke, but it's a good one. Man walking along one day fell off a cliff 2,000 feet high. Down this 2,000-foot cliff, he is falling to his certain death. And halfway down, a branch is sticking out of that cliff, and he grabs it as he goes by. Now he's hanging 1,000 feet down. 1,000 feet to get up, 1,000 feet to his death. And he's hanging there off that branch. And he starts crying out, "Help me! Somebody help me, please!" No response. His arms start to get tired. He's about to let go of that branch and fall to his certain death. And he says, "Oh God, please help me." And a voice comes from heaven. "Yes, my son." "God, you got to help me. Please help me, God." "Yes, my son, I will help you. Do you trust me?" "Yes, oh, I trust you, Lord. Please help me." He goes, "All right, son, let go." Pause. "Is there anybody else up there?" You know, you didn't have any trouble trusting him when you got saved. How simple was that? Isn't it simple? Doesn't it amaze you how simple salvation is? Jesus has done the hard part. Now he's provided you the gift of eternal life and forgiveness. Because Christ suffered a bloody death on the cross and his resurrection and all of that. He did all of that just to give you salvation as a gift that you could receive in a simple moment of faith, trusting him for your salvation. Amazing! And how simply you just turned to Christ and accepted him, just like that. You trusted your never dying eternal soul, just like that, in a simple moment of faith, because you had confidence what God said was so, and he trusted him and you got saved. But wait a minute. And then as you went along in the Christian life, remember in the early days of your salvation, how your faith was so simple. You just thought, you know what, if that's what God wants, I want to do what God wants me to do with my life. What happened to us? Where? At what point in the Christian life that all of a sudden you get smarter than God and you got ahead of him on some things? Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. You know what? It gets back to that simple thing of simple faith in Christ. That's why Jesus had those people gathered around him, and he wanted to teach those grown disciples, men of great faith. He wanted to teach them what real faith was. So he called a child to him. He said, come here, son. He said, sit down right there. Then he turned to his disciples and he said, did you see that? He said, except you become like little children and be converted, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he said this, and except you become as this little child, you'll never become great in the kingdom of heaven. I guarantee you, those men stood there and scratched their head and they said, what did the kid say? Did that kid come up with some brilliant statement of some kind? The boy said nothing. Listen now, he just simply came when Jesus told him to come. He simply sat when Jesus told him to sit. He simply did what the Lord told him to do. Hey, as soon as Jesus told him to do it. So I know it wasn't a teenager. And so Jesus came, and this boy came, and he sat there, and he said, that's what's greatness in faith. Just confidence in the Lord. That's all. And in the culture of those days, children do not sit when adults stand. That's still a good principle, by the way. So the kid was crossing some cultural barriers to do this, but it's what the Lord wanted him to do. Are you ready this morning to say, let's cast not away our confidence into God? We just need to be reminded maybe to pick it up again and say, you know, God, I don't always understand it, but God is right. Then there's cast not away your confidence in his word. See, the two are interchangeable. You can't have one without the other. Well, I'm trusting God, but I got some problems with the Bible. Then you don't have confidence in God, because that's God's book. He wrote that book. You understand that? So listen to me carefully. I was back in Iowa preaching here a couple weeks ago, and I have this book I wrote on Baptist history. It's a very simple little book. And the pastor there wanted a bunch of his folks in the church to have it. So he bought a bunch of them, gave them out to people. And there's some man in the church that got the book who read it and didn't like anything that I said and was waiting for me to come so he could debate me about what was written in the book. And I thought, I'm not debating anybody about what I wrote. Like it or lump it, man. I'll answer questions if I can, but I'm not going to debate somebody about what's written in the Bible. When I was in Bible college, a young man I worked with in the factory wanted me to come to a local university and debate atheists and stuff about the existence of God. I'd rather flip manhole covers, which would be more fun, by the way. I'd rather do that. No, I just told the guy, and the guy didn't even come to the meetings after all that. I just told him, just tell the guy, you know, like it or lump it, but that's what the book says. I'm not perfect, but I did spend a few years on that. That's what the book says. That's my book. This is his book. See that? The God we say we have confidence in, look at me. He wrote this book. People were just like word processors. They just put it down on paper the way God told them to put it. Every word of this is every word book. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I got to have every word Bible. And I have confidence that the God who wrote the book gave me the book, and I'm holding it in my hands this morning. Not just a Bible, but a King James Bible, ladies and gentlemen. That's the book. You understand? I have confidence in this book. I'm not going to throw this thing down and run off and chase somebody else's book. I don't care about that kind of stuff. I have confidence that the Bible is just as right on June the 2nd, 2013 as it has ever been. Matter of fact, even more so now. One thing about the darkness that is sweeping our world and our nation of sin and corruption and wickedness, one thing about the darkness that's overtaking things, it sure makes the bright light stand out even more. I don't know how you look at it this morning. I am not at all discouraged to live a biblical life in a world that's gone wrong. Oh no, I'm even more encouraged now. Hey, it's even more good now. It's even more right now. It even makes more sense now than ever before. You give in and go on to the other side, I guarantee you're going to be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. But I know where I'm going, and I know what I believe, and I know where I stand, and I know what I want to do, and I know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I don't have answers. I've got the truth. And there's a huge difference. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Listen to me. I think sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we just need to stand up and turn off the stupid television set that tells you time after time after time, well, that's what Bible-believing people think. They're locked into and antiquated in their understanding and they're not open-minded about things. Open-minded means you got a hole in your head. That's what that means. You got a hole in your head big enough to drive a semi-truck through. I'm not open-minded. I'm as closed-minded as Genesis to the Revelation. But I know where I'm going and I know what's going on. How about you? I can see what's happening in my life. I don't have to wonder around. Well, I don't know what the answer to this one is. I don't have the answer. I have the truth. And that's the truth right there. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. And it has a great recompense of a reward. And here's the recompense of reward. When you have confidence in this book right here. You know what the reward is? Peace. I have something that's can't be touched by man. Their moth and rust corrupts their stuff. No, thank you very much. Nothing can touch what I have. See, it's in this eternal, precious book that God has given us. Some of you folks, you're raising your children according to the Bible. They get to those teenage years and start questioning things. Woo! The Bible goes out the door and you start chasing other things. You cast away your confidence in God's Word. That book still works. It's still right. It's still how we live our lives. It's still what we do. It's still the way life should be conducted. It's still what I'm supposed to do. It's still a lamp to my feet. It's still a light unto my path. The entrance, as the Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. My eyes are wide open and I know where I'm going and I know what's going on. You don't cast away your confidence in His Word, my friend, I assure you, you'll have such clarity and direction in your life. Yeah, but then I got family members who don't understand it. Then they can just do what they do. Look at me, folks, look at me. We're not running for office, okay? We're not trying to get elected chief of nothing. We're just trying to please God. And if people in our family understand it, that's fine. If they don't, that's their business. But that doesn't change what I do with the Bible. God's Word's claim is still right. The Bible says we can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Nothing changes what the Bible says. So we've got what we need now. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, our assurance, our understanding of things. You get ready to face death. The Bible says absent from the body, present with the Lord. You go through trials and troubles and tribulation, better the Bible says that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You go through back difficulties and hardships, the Bible says we all experience those things in our life. And there have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. It's amazing how that book has the answer of truth for everything in life. Now we say that, but when it gets right down to the moment of truth, do we hold on to it or do we cast it aside? You say, well, when it comes to my finances, you know, that's one thing, but after all, I've got to do. No. No, no, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. That goes for Mike Johnson, Mike Johnson's wallet, Mike Johnson's family, faith, future, and everything else. It's not mine. It's his. I've got to do what God wants me to do about this thing. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which had great recompense or reward. I'm sorry, but I don't recommend this to everybody, quite frankly, but all you got to do is walk around in the Walmart. Baptist heaven on earth. Walk around a Walmart and just look at people's faces. Question. By the way, it wouldn't hurt some of you Christians to get a little joy in your life either. It'd be a good testimony. You're not supposed to look like you got baptized in grapefruit juice, okay? Now don't smile and laugh all the time or they'll put you in a funny farm. But other than that one, I mean, it really wouldn't hurt you, honestly. Have a little bit of a testimony that actually the joy of Jesus is in your life. That would be a very good thing for you to pass on to somebody else so they'll think. But look at the average person walking the streets. Look at the average person. Tell me that person has what they need in life and what they have is working. No. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Cast not away therefore your confidence in God's will and his working. I don't want to know what's coming in my life. I don't want to know the future. These people who get caught up with these psychics and people who predict the future. How come these psychics and these type of people, how come they don't win the lottery all the time? If they really can see the future, they should know the numbers. Right? It's like these healing people. If they're really healers, why don't they go empty a hospital? Don't wait. Don't go over to Sundial Bridge and pray for somebody's knee to be sore. Go to Shasta Regional and empty the joint. If you're really a healer now, there's Bethel Church in town. It's got a team of people going around supposed to be raising the dead. They haven't had anybody yet. You should go to a Methodist church. No, just kidding. But the truth is, if they really do that, then go to the cemetery and pop them up. Let's get all our people back. Seriously, I'm not being disrespectful. Let's just talk the truth here. Wait a minute. But ladies and gentlemen, what I don't understand is this. When God's will, I don't understand all the will of God for my life. If I look, stand here and I look back over these years and these times where we go to these old buildings we've been to before, it's really been a blessing. We've got one more, Cedars Road. They got a coffee shop. We're going to open it so you can have coffee before that service. Just to let you know, we'll have our largest Sunday night attendance there. But we go back to these old buildings, and I think, man, I remember that Butte Street building. I remember how many hours we worked in that place and 100-some hours of work week. I worked there and worked on that place, and I thought, wow, that was really stupid. And all this kind of crazy stuff. And you think back on things, oh, my. Could I have imagined what the will of God in the peaks and the valleys and the rough spots and the turns and the roads, how I could imagine all that looking back? Mm-mm. So when I look ahead, I would like to know those are coming. No, I don't think so either. I don't want to cast away my confidence that God's will is sufficient for today. I just want to get through today doing God's will for my life. He can take care of the tomorrows. He can deal with how I'm supposed to handle the yesterdays. But today, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The evil there doesn't mean bad. It just means things in life. There's enough for today. So I'm not going to throw aside my confidence that God's will and God's way of doing things is right, because it is. What I cannot do is keep making messes because I won't do what God wants and blame his will for it. Now that's not right. Then let's step up to it. So let me conclude my sermon this morning by confessing something to you. I'm disappointed in myself, and didn't know if I would include this in the message this morning or not. But I'm manning up, and I'll step up to my flaws and my failures. I ate at a McDonald's. I'm sorry. I'll resign if you want. It was a moment of weakness. We're down in the Bay Area. The kids needed some stuff. We had to run over right quick. I ate a chicken wrap. Does that still count? But it was in a McDonald's. I was sitting. It hurts to say it. I was sitting in a McDonald's eating a chicken wrap. I've sinned against the old God. No, that's Jimmy Swagger. I was sitting there eating a chicken wrap in McDonald's, drinking a Coke and eating French fries. I'm buying a Ford tomorrow. And don't clap. And I'm going by Starbucks on the way home and get me a triple coffee. And then hit a liquor store. No, wait a minute. I'm not going that far. That's too far. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There's enough for today. You understand? God's will is amazing. And the part that we get all hung up on is we try to figure out the why of tomorrow, the what of tomorrow, and the why of yesterday, when we need to be concerned about what we're doing right now. God's will. Look at me, Christian. You must understand something. You've cast aside your confidence when your simple obedience to God's will and working is not the way you live your life anymore. Enough of it. You hear me? Enough of it. Enough doing it your way. It's time to do it God's way. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence in the will and working of God. Listen to me. Get your life in order and do what God wants for your life. Stop doing it your way, on your terms, in your plan, the way you want to do it. You step up and do what God wants. And stop casting away your confidence in the will and the way of God. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.